Hey, how's it going?
How's it going, man? I'm very well, dude. Thank you very much for taking the time to have a chat again. I really appreciate it.
Yeah, not a problem, man.
Now, look, it seemed only fitting because it was just the one-year anniversary of the Tiny Sumo content side of things, and you were my first international guest, so it seemed only right that just after the year's anniversary, I was able to get you back on.
Yeah, that's pretty cool, man. I appreciate it.
No, look, I appreciate it because that was the thing. For those that don't know, look, I put the post up about you coming back on for a chat. I had a bunch of people message me. Like, that's really cool, man. That's awesome. How'd you get him on? I said, oh, no, look, Rob from McDojo Life, he's the homie. That's old school Tiny Sumo, man. He's been on forever.
Yeah, man. I appreciate it, man. Like I said, it's been a lot of growth in a year, too.
It's been really cool. Well, for you, that's one thing I wanted to talk about. It has been crazy. I distinctly remember a couple of times that the page got shouted out on Joe Rogan's podcast. And I remember sitting there and refreshing your feed, just like scroll down, so like just swiping down and just watching the numbers tick over. It was insane.
Yeah, it's pretty interesting. Like this year in January, I was able to just do this for a full time. So this is my full time job now.
Oh, really? Because I know we were talking about that last year, man. That was a big thing that, you know, like, that was the big push for this year, that this was going to be the gig, and that's it now.
Yeah, that's it. This is all I do. I've had quite a few projects that I've been working on to try to get off the ground that have been looking really promising for this year, so I'm really excited about those, which, you know, once I started making the decision that I was going to do this full time, I put as much effort into it as I could. And I figured if I can make enough money by the end of the year to be financially stable, then I'm just going to do this. And so the clock has been ticking since January. So I still have another 6 months. And in that time, I've been able to start writing a book. I've been able to start working on a documentary. I've been working on a website. I've been able to make the numbers on McDojo Life grow exponentially. I'm really looking to probably be over 300,000 by the end of the year. When it comes to Instagram, my goal is to be over 10,000 on YouTube, and then I'd like to get to 10,000 on Facebook and 100,000 on 10,000 on Twitter and 100,000 on Facebook by the end of the year is my goals.
Dude, that's wild too, because I remember when we first chatted, look, it was a big deal for me anyway, because you know, like I distinctly remember you put up on your stories or on your post, you know, like, hey, has anyone got a podcast? I'd love to jump on and be on someone else's podcast. And at that point, I had zero idea. Now, look, I don't have much more of an idea now of what I'm doing, but I had zero idea. But I thought, fuck it, I'll message him. I'll tell him to come on. Absolutely. And we'll make it happen. We made it happen. It was fantastic. But at that point, I think you had 40,000 followers or something.
Yeah, it was much smaller then. Although still, even those numbers aren't bad, but they're just not like, they're not like for a living numbers, you know, like it's you know, there are some people who already have successes before their social media followings.
Mm.
And, you know, for instance, for the longest time, you know, on YouTube, Master Ken was doing, is still doing phenomenal. And then his Instagram just wasn't doing nearly as well. But then, you know, like World Star Hip Hop had shared one of his videos. And next thing you know, overnight, his Instagram had blown up too. Mm. So I think that it's kind of interesting how social media works, is it's just like feast or famine. Sometimes you'll go for like a couple weeks, maybe a month, maybe even longer with like really no substantial growth. You can grow your page without having to have like famous people share your stuff. I do it all the time. Mm. But you know, no real growth, like organic growth. Then all of a sudden some five people will just start sharing stuff, and then they'll start sharing stuff with their friends, and next thing you know, it kind of blows up. It's really crazy how it works.
That's definitely one thing that I've noticed while doing it, obviously at a much smaller scale, but it is very interesting to see, you know, like the chats that do really well or the posts that do really well. And it's obviously all through the sharing. And then talking about that social media side of it, it is interesting to see who does well on what mediums. The homie Eli Knight, who does some of the best jiu-jitsu content out there. Like, I can't recommend him enough. He just clocked over 100,000 subscribers on YouTube. But I don't like, but I would say that at the minute, he's probably not even at 10,000 on Instagram. And that's wild to me because the content that he puts out is amazing.
Yeah, it's a different beast. Like, each platform is built slightly different and it draws in a slightly different crowd. You know, for like YouTube, it is much more built for longer, I guess you could say longer videos. It's also built a little better for the content provider because you do get some money. It's not like break the bank money, I can tell you that. But you do get some money, you know. It's, so that's kind of nice. Meanwhile, like, but they really, I guess you could say, censor you quite a bit. So like if you say the wrong thing, or like, for instance, I had a, an interview with a lady who was, basically she does like tantric sex for a living. So she doesn't sleep with anybody, but she like helps people with like erectile dysfunction, helps couples with their sex lives and stuff like that. So she's a sex therapist. And because of that, that conversation was very clean. It was very professionally done. It was very tasteful. But YouTube demonetized it. And it's like, why? Like, because we said the word sex. It's pretty ridiculous. And then, you know, but Twitter, on the other hand, you could post literally whatever the hell you want on Twitter for the most part. Like, there are porn stars who just post clips of porn on there and their stuff doesn't get taken down at all. So it's incredible how the different mediums and what they get offended over and how that affects you monetarily and your growth.
Yeah, it is a weird one. It, like you're talking about with the demonetizing certain clips, but then having open sort of reign on other platforms. And the Twitter one's a weird one anyway. Look, we don't have a lot of Twitter in Australia. It never really took off over here like it has in other parts of the world. I know it's massive in the States, but like I personally don't know anyone over here that does a Twitter. And if they do it, I don't see anything about it. It's not as big over here, but it's interesting to watch because you still pick up the stuff from Twitter on other platforms. If there's like a Twitter storm about something, someone has said the wrong thing or they had a tweet from 2 years ago where they used the wrong word, and that brings the rest of the stuff down for them.
Yeah. It's pretty ridiculous, man. Like, I've always been of the opinion that I might not like someone else's opinion, but that's their right. You know, if somebody says something that I don't like, I just don't follow them. I don't read what they have to say. I move on with my life. But people will take a huge stand. Like, you can't say that. Like, fuck you. Yes, I can. I can say literally whatever I want. That's the beauty of speech. And even if you don't like what people have to say, that doesn't mean that they don't have the right to say it. You know, like I heard something a long time ago that always stuck with me, and that's being offended is an option. You know, I can choose not to be offended. I can choose to change the channel. I can choose not to subscribe. I can choose to unfollow. I tell people all the time, if you don't like my page, just don't follow it. Like, I don't care. Like, if I have 10 followers tomorrow, which would kind of suck, but if I had 10 followers tomorrow, I would still do what I do. You know, I do it because I love it, because it's a passion of mine. I think that it's important that people call these people out, frauds and things like that. But at the same time, like, I'm not doing it because of the follower or because I want more followers. I mean, that is cool. And that does help me financially and it does help growth. But if I lost 100,000 followers tomorrow, I would just, it happens, and move on with my life. You know, like, and especially if it's 100,000 haters or people who don't enjoy what I do, you know, like, just don't follow. Like, I don't give a shit. If you follow, awesome. Thank you. I appreciate that. But if you don't, cool. Move on with your life. We can both live in harmony and separate opinions, you know?
It is a weird one, and that it has sort of given people that right to be able to voice that they're upset about something so strongly, you know, create a hashtag, try and get a rally behind them and sort of go, no, you can't have these things. It's like, you can't put this up on a clip, whatever it may be. It's like, well, I know what you're saying, but and it's a very fair point. It's like, hey, you know, you just don't have to follow. Don't look for that hashtag. Don't follow along on whatever channel that you're now watching, whatever it may be. Change, put your phone down, jump on a different platform. You don't need to play along.
Yeah, and that's what I think a lot of people don't understand is whenever they start going on these tirades, they can make something really small and insignificant something much larger by accident. You know, like, for instance, let's say somebody has 10 followers and they're like, I'll go extreme. Let's say they're just like a Nazi, right? Mm-hmm. And they're just like, hate speech. I don't like these people because of this. I don't like these people because of that. And then if you ignore them, less people will have visibility to their page. Mm-hmm. But as soon as you start talking to them, automatically they're getting more visibility. And then as soon as more people start chiming in, now they get more visibility. And what's going to happen is eventually people will follow them just to see the drama. But then now they're exposed to that hate speech all the time. And then now you help them develop and grow a following. And that's where the real problem is when people don't know how to just shut up. You know, it's like, I don't need to follow this person or interact with them at all if I don't believe in what they do or say. The people who spew the most negative stuff are usually the ones who cause the most issues. You know, like, for instance, over here, we have a pretty heavy political climate right now with like left and right leaning politics. And I'm sure it's that way most everywhere else. But as soon as a whole bunch of people from the right start yelling at a whole bunch of people from the left grow. And as soon as the left starts yelling at the people from the right grow. And so it like is completely counterintuitive to what they really want to do, which is stop that behavior. Mm. And sometimes the best way, especially on social media, is just to ignore it. Like, oh, this person's spewing a whole bunch of hate out of their mouth. All right, cool. What I'm going to do is I'm going to move on. Now, if that person was on my neighborhood, if they were in my block, there are legal ways to stop certain things from happening if you feel like it's detrimental. Like, for instance, my page and what I do. You know, I see behaviors that I don't enjoy or like, so I call it out. So I've had that argument before with people where they're like, don't you think you're helping their growth? And I think it's a little bit different because I'm not on their social media helping that grow. I'm not helping their advertisement. You know, I'm just kind of calling them out from a distance without giving them that extra boost by tagging them and giving them the hashtag and giving them all these followers. That's kind of counterproductive to what I'm trying to do. So I try not to do that.
I think as well with the way that media itself has changed, you know, with obviously the massive growth in social media over how long, ever long it's been, as opposed to traditional media sources, which, it, you know, is going to be pushed on whatever agenda it is. If you start looking at certain things, it changes your algorithm and it's just going to pump more of that stuff towards you anyway. If I'm looking, if I'm looking for jiu-jitsu stuff or whatever it may be, all of a sudden, all of my suggested stuff is jiu-jitsu stuff, suggested pages on Instagram, Facebook, YouTube, like all of those things. If I look at it and it just, it sends you down that sort of rabbit hole anyway, same as if I'm looking for, like you said, I'm looking for this hate speech group and I search them, all of a sudden that affects my algorithm and that's what's going to be pushed towards me now anyway. And all I'm going to see is that sort of stuff.
Yeah, it's ridiculous, man. People kind of put themselves in these positions where they're just surrounding themselves with all of that. And I think it makes you negative. Mm. You know, like what kills me is I'll post up something, you know, of myself, which I try to do every once in a while, just so that way I'm not a hypocrite, you know, like, and what good is it for me to like point fingers at people that I think that are doing something wrong if I don't just put myself out there sometimes too. Mm. And, you know, 9 times out of 10, you know, it'll go really well. You know, I try to make sure I explain context. I try to make sure people understand what they're looking at. That kind of stuff is what I feel is missing from a lot of those fake martial arts stuff is they don't explain context. Mm. And so it leaves it up for too much interpretation. So if I put something up of myself, I try to make sure that there's context. This is why I'm doing what I do. This is the reason because of this. But no matter what, there's always going to be people who will hate on you. And, you know, those kind of people, I've gotten to the point now where as soon as they start spewing that crap, I just block them.
Yeah.
Because on the other end of the coin, I don't have to listen to that crap either. You know, if I lost 100,000 followers tomorrow, it would suck. But at the same time, it's like, okay, at least I'll be happy. You know,
yeah.
I don't need like, you know, an extra 50 people in my life who are just waiting to see me fail. You know, I don't need those people who are waiting for me to do a slip up so they can rub it in my face. Like those aren't people who support you. So I just block them. Especially during my lives, man. I'll do a live and people will just hop in and spread a whole bunch of hate. Now, if you disagree with me, that's different. I don't mind that. That's a healthy debate. But if all you're doing is just spewing negativity for no real reason and no real rhyme, then I'm just going to block you so I can have a peaceful life.
Yeah, that's a completely different one, isn't it? What you're saying, like a healthy discourse, it's more than comfortable having like a rational talk with someone or even a heated talk with someone. I don't mind getting into it. But as long as it's like, hey, no, this is a back and forth and I'm giving my response and you're giving your response and that's all good. But like you're saying, as soon as it sort of just gets past that point and it's just someone just talking shit, it's like, ah, man, look, hey, let's bounce you. There's no time for that. I haven't got to that point yet. I haven't got to the point now where, look, I'm lucky. The people that tend to follow my stuff, you know, they're following it for the same reasons that I'm involved in it, because they support the scene and they're interested in local growth and all that sort of stuff. So it's very different there, I think, and it's not at the scope you're at. But I'm sure that I will come to that at some point. I'm sure I've got close to it where, like, I'll post something and I won't necessarily get negative comments, but I can see that they're sort of starting. Sometimes they'll lean that way and I'm like, oh, okay, I can see where this could go.
Yeah, and it's interesting, like, when it was smaller, there was still that. I mean, but I'm in the nature of my business is I do tend to stir up things, right?
Yeah.
I do kind of get some things started that people might not agree with, and which is fine. And like I said, as long as we have a healthy conversation, that's kind of the point of all of it.
Mm.
My job is not to think for people. You know, my job is to try to get the conversation going so people have their own opinions about what is and what is not legitimate.
Yeah.
And I have been very fortunate to have a lot of good feedback where people will hit me up in my DMs and be like, hey, man, you know, I really appreciate you posting that. I found out that so-and-so, who was my cousin's something, goes to that particular martial arts studio that you posted. You know, we talked to them and we showed them these videos and they decided to pull out of that.
Mm.
And to me, that feels like a victory to me. You know, that is an amazing victory to see that I'm able to influence people to the point where they can make their own decisions about what they're looking at and what they see. And I think that that's a powerful thing. That's an amazing thing. And I don't take that lightly. But, you know, then on the other end of the coin, you get things like the people who you post up. They want to have, like, I just had a debate with somebody over Systema and the legitimacy of Systema.
Yep.
And it was a good debate. It was very cordial. The guy did call, he did compare me to Hitler, but that was odd. I was like, that's kind of a stretch there, dude.
Yeah.
you know, like I don't typically agree with them. And now, of course, their rebuttal almost 9 times out of 10 is, well, why don't you come in for a class?
Mm.
And I don't have a problem with that. The only real issue I have is it's not going to be a class. And we both know that.
Yeah.
It's going to be a proving ground. And it's going to be like, oh, well, let me show you how to do this instead of let me explain it to you like a sane, rational human being. You know, it'll be like more like let's beat up Rob instead of like let's rationally explain what we're looking at. Because I could care less about going into somebody else's studio, usually.
Mm.
Because it never winds up good. Nothing good comes of it. It's not like a good conversation will come of it. It becomes like a butting of heads and like a dick measuring contest and a battle of ego. And I don't think that that's the best way to do it. You know, for instance, let's say hypothetically, I do go into somebody's studio and they just beat me up.
Mm.
Does that mean that they could still knock people out with their mind?
Mm.
No. You know, like, what does that prove? It proves nothing. Or I beat them up. Okay, cool. Like, technically, that was what was supposed to happen. So it proves nothing. It makes all of us look bad. It makes me look like an asshole if I beat somebody up. It makes me look like a chump if I lose. And it also doesn't prove that they're wrong.
Yeah.
You know, like, it doesn't prove that they can knock people out with their minds. So, like, the whole thing is quite ridiculous. So I try to stay, like, 30,000 feet away from that stuff. But, you know, I am going to be doing a new project coming up this year called Dojo Reviews. And so what I'm going to be doing is on my YouTube, I'm going to be going to different martial arts studios and giving them a legitimate review, like going, calling them, taking the trial class, going through my first day experience, speaking with the instructor, and then at the end of that, giving a review of what I thought of the program and the studio.
Yeah, nice. I like the idea of that, man. I mean, look, you and I have spoken about it in the past at length, you know, the idea that the people that have bought into a lot of these systems, it's almost like a religious thing. It's almost like they've bought into that religion, and they sort of, they don't want to look outside of that. They've got their blinkers on because it just crumbles their whole world, all their, you know, that's their support structure. But, you know, like, there's so much that goes into it. There's so much psychology that goes into why people will believe that a no-touch knockout can work. There's obviously something else at play, and they're indoctrinated and all that sort of stuff. But in terms of, like, the negative sort of feedback that you get from people, I want to know, because I know you've mentioned it before as well, and you've put up posts about it, about people, you know, sending threatening messages, all that sort of stuff. Like, how much of that stuff are you getting now?
Now that I've grown, it's actually a lot less than it used to be. And I think it's because of the way I've handled it in the past.
Mm.
Like, I have absolutely no problems. I lose no sleep at night when I call one of these people out.
Mm.
Like, I've had some pretty nasty, heavily debated stuff that I posted where, for instance, I had one kid. I say kid, he was like in his 20s. He was old enough to know better. And he was a black belt from some Taekwondo studio.
Mm-hmm.
And he was like, hey, I want to fight you. And I was like, why? You know, like, I need a reason. I'm not just going to fight you. I don't even know you. So why are we fighting? And, you know, and then the threats kept coming. And then he started sending me messages in my direct messages. And he was like, hey, man, I really want to fight you. I was like, why, though? I don't understand you. He's like, just because. And then he started threatening me deeper. And I was like, look, man, if you're going to keep threatening me, what's going to happen is I'm going to treat it seriously. Like I always do. I treat every threat that I get very seriously. Because one of these crazy assholes is only actually going to mean what they say.
Mm.
And I don't want to have to walk down the street and worry about catching a bullet because somebody threatened to shoot me once.
Mm.
You know, like, that may be a legitimate threat. I don't know. And so my issue is like, let's say I do block this person and without handling it. Well, now they're more upset, right? And then that doesn't stop them from opening another account, following me quietly, waiting till I wind up telling people where I'm going to be. And then they find me and shoot me.
Mm.
You know, those, I know that sounds ridiculous, and it really is ridiculous, but it is an honest to goodness threats that I've gotten.
But you're also dealing with crazy people.
Yeah, exactly. They have drunken the Kool-Aid, you know, and if I disrespect their master, you know, some of them may have mental issues. This particular case, the gentleman did not, because I had spoken with him for a while. He was not mentally handicapped in any way, which is a different thing. You know, and I handle that with a little bit more tact. And most of the time I'm able to handle the stuff behind the scenes.
Mm.
Usually what happens is when it gets to that point, I look through their Instagram. I find out where they are taking classes at. I contact their instructor and I go, yo, man, this guy's representing you. I was like, he's wearing your shirt while he's talking this kind of garbage online. I was like, you understand this represents your studio, right? And 9 times out of 10, they squash it. I get an apology. We move on. And most people don't even know about it,
mm-hmm.
which is, I think, the professional way to do it.
Mm.
But sometimes, like this particular case, it doesn't work that way. And so finally, I was like, look, man, you should probably apologize or this is going to get really bad. And he was like, no, because I still want to fight you. When next time I see you, I'm going to slap the taste out of your mouth. And so now he's telling me whenever he does see me, he's going to physically assault me. And so, like I said, I might be like, I'm going to Vegas soon. I might be at Vegas. And then all of a sudden, somebody just hits me out of nowhere. I don't want to have to look over my back all the time. And so I contact his instructor and I go, yo, man, you know, this student is opening up the doors to your studio because the guy said you should come up to our studio and fight me. Or he actually said my studio, which it wasn't his. And I was like, this guy's claiming that he owns your studio. And I was like, he also was opening the doors for a lawsuit because if I get over there and we wind up fighting, you know, he might be doing this for other people. They might come up and sue you. Then somebody might get hurt on your property. I was like, you probably don't feel like this is the best look for your studio. And the person agreed. They were like, yeah, we agree. That's not how it should be done. Let's look into it. And then after I sent them the screenshots of the conversation, they were like, well, it doesn't seem like you're that upset about it. So we're not going to do anything about it. And I was like, what? I was like, it makes no sense. I'm literally contacting you, telling you that it's bothering me. You should probably handle this. And they were like, nah, we're good. I was like, okay. I was like, well, I'm like, okay, so here's how this is going to work. So I'm going to give you guys 24 hours, which I did, to handle it on your own. And if you don't handle it on your own, I'll handle it. And then, of course, what happens? 24 hours goes by, nothing. And I even gave them a countdown. I was like, look, guys, you got an hour left. Let's go and get it taken care of. Nothing. And I could see them read it. They say nothing. I was like, got 15 minutes left. And then I counted down. I was like, all right. So then I put them on blast. I posted up a video of him hitting the bag, which looked like he was having a damn seizure. And then I was like, I posted up the fact that this person had threatened me. I posted up the studio that he had trained at. I posted up as much information as I could. And I was like, there you go. This is like, I'm just going to call you out at this point. An hour later, after like the followers and stuff like that had gotten a hold of the page, I got an apology, and I still have that apology. I saved it.
Mm.
And I posted the apology afterwards. I was like, look, you know, I don't want to be this way, but, this is sometimes the best way to handle it. No one got hurt. No one got assaulted. I'm not worried about looking over my back anymore. And the studio that's basically breeding these assholes now got called out for it. I was like, I did my job.
Mm.
And it's amazing how many people were upset that I did it that way. With every day, I get multiple messages all the time of people like, you should go to these studios and beat them up. Those same assholes were like, yo, you shouldn't have done it that way. That was wrong to call them out like that. I was like, what should I have done? Go to a studio and hurt him?
Like, yeah.
How is that an adult professional thing to do? That makes no sense. You know, it's like, you got to pick one. Do you want me to go to people's places and beat them up? Or are you upset that I basically handled it in a nonviolent way? I don't get the mentality there, but I get that kind of shit all the time. And it kind of kills me. Like, people's hypocrisies.
That's a weird one. And look, and that's because as well, people just want the world star video at the end of it. They're not invested in your well-being. They're invested in, you know, clips. They want to see clips. They want a 15-second clip of the fight or whatever it may be. They want the shit storm that follows along with it. That's what they're interested in. No one else's well-being, you know. And I think the difference is too, like you said, I mean, you've got such a big reach now and so many fans that there's going to be a percentage that are just assholes.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. There's plenty of them.
There has to be. That's just how, you know, if you've got 250,000, you know, followers on Instagram and you said, you know, 1 out of 10 of them was an asshole. Look, that might be more than that is. But what if you said 1 in 100 was an asshole? That's still a fair chunk of assholes in your followers.
Yeah. And, you know, like I have to say, like, I think that probably maybe a quarter of the people that follow me get it.
Mm.
You know, they really, really get it. They understand that. It's not just me posting these clips because they're funny. I'm posting these clips to kind of share awareness. I'm trying to let people know that this kind of stuff is going on. I think like probably another little chunk of people don't get it for a while. And then after seeing so many of these videos, like it never stops. I post every day. After seeing so many of these videos over a long period of time, it starts to make them think and go, damn, I didn't know there were this many psychotic people on the planet. How would it, you know, and then they start asking questions. How are these people still getting away with this? You know, like, then that's the whole point is the conversation. So, and then you have people who just follow because it's funny. You know, I think there are plenty of people who don't really care about rhyme or reason. They just look at it because it's funny. They look at it, they laugh, they move on with their day.
Mm.
But then, you know, I have a small chunk, but it is a chunk. I have a small chunk who just want to see someone get hurt.
Mm.
Like, it's a very odd, psychotic thing, I think, that they're just waiting around for something to explode, which does from time to time, so they can see somebody get hurt. And I think that that's a ridiculous reason to follow anything. It's kind of like watching NASCAR, just waiting for the wreck.
Mm.
You know, like you're trying to see people get hurt. But you know, that's happened from time to time, you know, like where there'll be a small explosion, like you know, for instance, whenever that fight got put on between the chick and the dude, the sparring match,
mm-hmm.
you know, that was like kind of an explosion. That was somebody was talking a ridiculous amount of crap. They couldn't back it up. And I had arranged for the chick and him to spar. And she wind up beating him. Well, you know, that's one of those like little explosions. You know, it kind of spills over into real life. But it did prove the point. But at the end of the day, the goal is to get a conversation going so people can make their own decisions about what they feel is and is not legitimate for their own personal self-defense.
And that's the biggest thing as well. And look, having that sort of reach makes obviously a big difference. Being able to get the videos out to that many people on a daily basis makes a big difference. And there's obviously a humor aspect to it. That's what makes the pay, you know, that's what makes it entertaining. And that's what sucks people in with that first bit. You're like, this is insane. How is this a thing? But then you look into it more and you go, holy shit, people are buying into this. This is crazy. Why do people think they can create energy blasts through their fingers? I don't get it. How's that a thing? And like you go through this whole list of emotions in like watching these clips, but then the idea is that you know, you are spreading that awareness. You are, you know, getting that message out that, like, this shit's going on. People are giving their hard-earned money, and it's going to get someone killed when they go. You know, like, I know, I'm sure you've shared that clip before of, like, what is it, the Yellow Bamboo group on the beach?
Oh, yeah. It's ridiculous.
You know, like, that insanity when there's, like, that middle-aged woman who's, like, building up her chi blast and she gets steamrolled by the guy.
And you're, yeah.
Like, that's the shit. That's, like, that's the stuff we're worried about, because that was in a semi-controlled environment. That was during one of their classes, and she still got fucked up. Now,
yeah,
she's at the ATM, and someone tries to take her handbag. Someone, you know, tries to snatch her purse, and someone tries to do, like, a George Dillman bladder nine and disable someone there, and that doesn't work. It's like, what? What do you mean that hasn't worked? But you said all the time, anyway, you know as well as I do, you said all the time, plenty of these no-touch guys where they, you see them, or, you know, the Sistema or whatever, when they get into actual, like, you know, no-touch knockout versus MMA fighter, Sistema versus boxer, like any of those. And it's like, oh, you're not even trying to no-touch knockout anyone anymore. You, like, you know as well, like, you haven't even tried to pretend that it's going to work.
Yeah, you know. This was a debate I had with somebody not too long ago. And of course, this is a Twitter debate too. Go figure.
Of course.
But it's one of those things where a big misconception is something's better than nothing. And me personally, I think that's a big crock of shit.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes something is just enough to get you really hurt.
Mm.
For instance, if I'm mugging you, my goal is to not get caught and get the money. That's it. That's it. Those are my two primary goals, right? I want to steal your purse, for instance, and get away without going to jail.
Mm.
That's it. That's all I care. Now, if I hurt you, that's up to you, right? If you try to stop me, I'm going to fuck you up, and then I'm going to take it anyway.
Mm.
That's the strong arm mentality. So let's imagine I run up and I grab your purse and I take it, and you know nothing. Then you'll do nothing. Oh my God, no. And then I take it and you get upset, but that's it. You cancel your credit cards. You might have to go get a new cell phone. You know what I'm saying? You lost some money, but that's it. But now you took this weekend, 2-day self-defense seminar and you're so empowered, right? You're like, yeah, I can beat up anybody because they spread that bullshit into my mind. Then all of a sudden you think that this 2-day course is going to stop a lifelong criminal who is used to fighting people often. That's bullshit.
Mm.
They're going to grab your purse. You're going to fight them and try to maybe do some technique, if you can remember it, because you've only had 2 days of practicing it, to stop them. And they're going to lay you out.
Mm.
And then they're going to take it anyway. And now you're hurt and or dead because you learned something. That's just a ridiculous thought to me. That's a fantasy land thought. And what kills me is those type of people who teach those seminars who are not, I will repeat this, who are not trying to encourage them to do continual education,
yeah,
are hurting people. It is ridiculous. And those are the videos that actually piss me off the most, are those, like, those self-defense seminars, man. There was one from some chick in New York, and she got on, like, Tech Insider.
Yes.
And, like,
yep.
Man, like, that video irks me to this day.
Yep.
And what does she do for a living? She teaches these seminars. Like, what? Like, first of all, the information that you're giving from anybody who's taken a martial arts class more than a month, you know that that's ridiculous. But because she's had such a big platform, she can convince so many people that this is what they need to do. And what they're going to do is they're going to take that as the gospel. They're going to look at that and go, yeah, this is going to really work. Mm-hmm. And then what's going to happen? They're going to try it and they're going to get severely hurt because it doesn't work.
Yeah. Look, if you were to put that into context in any other situation, if you were to tell me that I could learn to completely rebuild a car engine in a weekend or whatever it may be, pick a tricky thing, pick something that takes a long time to learn, that's hard work, whatever it may be, and you said I could learn it in 2 8-hour sessions, you wouldn't do it with anything else. It doesn't work with anything else. So why would you think that you could do it with something that may or may not end up in a life or death situation?
Yeah. Or you take something that is not a life, death, or situation and you turn it into one.
Mm.
You know, that's what concerns me. You know, like, getting into a fist fight is not typically fun for people.
Mm.
You know, like, if you train, if you're used to it, if you have a little like S&M thing going on, maybe it's fun. You know, maybe it's fun for you. Some people really enjoy getting into fights. I like to call those people assholes.
Yeah.
But the people who don't enjoy getting into fights, the people who are training during the week, you know, they want to learn how to do this. They want to learn how to protect themselves, but they don't necessarily go around looking for altercations, right? Those are the real people who are going to hurt you.
Mm.
Those are the scary people. Because they are spending their all their time not talking about it, but practicing it over and over and over again until the time comes, and then it explodes on somebody.
Mm.
You know, the people who are trying to give you bravado, the people who are trying to give you like what they call like that self-confidence, like the self-help type seminars, like, yeah, you can do this, like you're a champion, you're awesome, and you ingrain that shit into your head without anything to back it up, those are the ones who are going to get you hurt.
Mm.
Those are the seminars that you're going to go to and feel like you left, like you're going to feel like a champion. You feel that way, but you're not. It's a fallacy. It's a lie. It's something that was ingrained in your head without any actual knowledge of protecting yourself. And now you're hurt. Now you're hurt. It's too late after you discover the truth. And after people like that have already been brainwashed, it's very, very, very difficult to convince them otherwise. It's so difficult because they've been indoctrinated into it.
Mm-hmm. No, it's wild, and it's crazy, that, you know, like it's the same sort of thing as like learn this palm strike, this eye gouge, this throat strike, and this groin strike, and you're good to go. You're like, that's, we're going to show you these five easy steps, and you'll be able to defend yourself, whatever it may be. And going back to Eli Knight now, because I've spoken to Eli a bunch of times, and you know, like he does like probably more of the self-defense sort of jiu-jitsu stuff. And you know, like he made a really good point where he was talking about this same sort of concept where he's like, you know, you hear people talking about, well, you can use the groin strike or the eye strike or the throat strike or whatever it may be, these dirty tactics to get you out of these situations. He goes, do you think that someone who's not good at jiu-jitsu won't do that too, but they'll just do it from a strong position while they're killing you? Like that, because they're training all the time, whatever it may be, they're training all the time. They're not just doing that weekend course, you know, this tactical course, this self-defense workshop, whatever it may be. It's insanity. And that's just as bad. In fact, like you said, that's probably worse because it doesn't seem as crazy to the average person. If I was to show the lady in my office the Chi Blast video, she'd think it was insane. But if I was to show the lady in my office the Tech Insider Get Out of This Choke video, she might not think that's crazy. She might believe that.
Yeah, and that's why I think those videos are the most dangerous. You know, like the videos where they're showing those self-defense, like do this five techniques that'll win any street fight, you know, like pressure points to save your life, you know, and they put this crap out there. And then, of course, you know, with people with no martial arts experience or no self-defense experience at all, look at this. Some of them might be swayed, and that's the dangerous thing. You know, and then that's what perpetuates that misinformation.
Mm.
And that's the problem is like, it's kind of like here in the South, people love fucking Roadhouse. Like Roadhouse is like the movie, right? Roadhouse is awesome. Bounce is watching Roadhouse. Everybody's excited about Roadhouse. And I like that movie. I think it's a great movie. But people like take the quotes from that movie and think that it's real because they don't know. Their ego is too big. Like, yeah, I just kicked somebody in the knee and they collapse. But like, do you know how difficult it is to kick someone in the knee to break their leg? Like, it's the most ridiculous thing ever. Like, it's so hard to kick someone in the knee to break their leg. Like, their leg has to be locked out. They have to not probably be expecting it. You have to kick them pretty damn hard, right? And then, you know, like, and so like, but that's like a common, like, I don't know what I'm talking about. Like, I'm going to talk about self-defense to somebody's speech.
Yeah.
Another one is like again, back to Roadhouse, man. If you just rip out their throat, man, you know, I kill a man. Like also, do you know how difficult it is to grab someone's throat and to physically pull it out of their body? Like personally, never seen it happen.
None.
Never heard of it happening.
None.
Maybe you crush their trachea. I don't know, but like, you're not going to just pull it out of their throat. So like to hear people who don't know anything about self-defense talking to people about self-defense like they know all is the funniest shit to me. It's like, I know the movie you're quoting right now. You're literally quoting Miss Congeniality. Like, you're saying the same shit she said in the movie, and it's a fucking movie, dude. That's not real, you know? Like, you know, I think another big misconception is, you know, because the martial arts is very segregated. You know, karate people tend to hang out with karate people. They do sport karate tournaments. You know, they probably intermingle with taekwondo people, but they don't usually cross over and do jiu-jitsu. Jiu-jitsu people think that karate people are stupid and that karate doesn't work. They just do jiu-jitsu. When all the arts have a little something right, they all have something to offer, right? Karate has amazing footwork, good timing. The thing about karate people is they might not hit you the most, but they will hit you first, you know, and that's like a very handy thing to have. Look at guys like Stephen Thompson, Raymond Daniels, Michael Benham Page. You know, those people are going to hit you first, and that's something to be to think about. Those are karate guys. But then you have jiu-jitsu guys who are like, yeah, you try to kick me in the head, I'm going to pick you up. And then Stephen Thompson knocks out a jiu-jitsu guy with a head kick. And then you're like, oh, well, maybe head kicks do work. And so there's so much misinformation about, like, just hating on all the different arts. It just baffles me. Like, anybody who's been in the arts for long enough realizes that every art has a little something, just a little something, even if it's not a lot, to offer, right? But that doesn't mean that your art is going to help you win a street fight. You know, it's going to help you. It'll give you an advantage. But, you know, there's a lot of factors that go into a fight. Your health, your timing, your footwork, your speed, your age, you know, your physical ailment that you may or may not have. You know, just because you do, like, let's say, for instance, I break my arm during a jiu-jitsu class, which hopefully doesn't happen, but let's say hypothetically it does. And then I go out into the streets and now I do not have that arm because it is all casted up or slung. You know, like, did you ever think about maybe you might want to learn how to kick, you know, or like people say that one art doesn't do stuff like that. Like people say that jiu-jitsu doesn't strike. A good jiu-jitsu class does, you know, like, I don't know where this comes from. There was a video I posted up not too long ago of a dude who was an Aikido guy, and he went into an MMA gym and challenged them.
Yes. Yep.
And the dude slapped the shit out of that man.
Yes, he did.
And I felt it through the screen. I was like, first of all, what people look at, they go, that wasn't cool, man. What they don't realize is the guy who, the Aikido guy, he asked for no gloves. The Aikido guy said, I don't want to use gloves. That was his decision. But also, what they don't realize is slapping somebody is so much nicer than punching them with a closed fist.
Yeah.
You know, he could have hooked him and just broken his jaw.
Yeah.
Like, he could have shattered teeth. He could have knocked him unconscious, hurt his eyeball, shattered an orbital bone, broke his nose. So many things that could happen from that. But he slapped him instead. I think that was very polite.
Yeah, that's dude, he's a nice guy.
Yeah. And then after that, you know, the guy took a pause or whatever and they reset. And then he got double legged. And the guy was so polite about the double leg. When he double legged him halfway through, he like saw that the guy was sticking his arm out and was like, oh, dude, he's going to break his arm if I follow through with this. So he just kind of eased him down. Now, he does hit the ground. He's a grown man. He's like 200 something pounds and he hits the floor. Yeah, it's going to make a sound. But in the long run, that was the nicest double leg I've ever seen. He could have jumped up, shouldered him in the sternum on the way down. He didn't. He was still standing at the end of the double leg. That was polite. That's a polite double. But, you know, it's amazing how many people were like, I didn't see any jiu-jitsu in that. Like, are you fucking stupid? Like, where did it get the opportunity to even get to the ground? The fight stopped at the takedown. Step one, you know? Yeah. Like, you know, he didn't, like, to think that jiu-jitsu doesn't teach any striking at all is that misinformation that's out there in the world, and it's ridiculous. Or to think that a double leg isn't a part of a normal jiu-jitsu curriculum. Like, I've been to a lot of jiu-jitsu classes, and most of them teach a double and a single leg. You know, so I'm blown away by the misinformation that's out there about martial arts, especially for people who train. You know, there are plenty of people to comment, like, I didn't see any jiu-jitsu in there. Like, well, then you're an idiot. Like, I'm sorry. I don't know what to say. Like, you don't observe. You're not looking for jiu-jitsu then. Like, a double leg takedown? Yeah, you're going to see that in jiu-jitsu often. You know, an open hand slap to close the distance to shoot in? Yeah, that's going to be in there. You know, as a matter of fact, the old school Gracie challenges, almost all of their striking was open hand slaps.
Well, not the idea is to not to break the hands then. That's it. Like, that's the other thing that to take into account. I don't know how long I'm going to be fighting for. And if I'm smashing you with closed fists on bone, I'm probably going to bust my hands. Am I fighting you for 10 minutes? Like, how long are we fighting for? You know, we're taking into account that, especially if it's in a street altercation or whatever it may be, and that should have been the idea with all of those old challenges anyway, and the idea that it was just like, hey, no, this is the most dominant fighting. It wouldn't matter if we're in the ring or in the street or whatever it was. I don't want to bust my hands because then I'm like, it's going to make it a lot harder to fight 10 minutes later if my hands are busted.
Yeah, you know, like it's just the, all the misinformation out there is just kind of boggling.
Mm. It's crazy to think with how much information we have at our fingertips that people still are misinformed.
I think that some people just want to be misinformed, if that makes sense.
Yeah, well, it's more fun for them to argue the points. You know, like, you know now, like, there's just people that just are going to want to argue in the comments, whatever it may be, and there's also people that just want to get on a high horse on whatever it may be about. It's like, I didn't see any jiu-jitsu in that man. That was, he slapped him and did a takedown. It's like, yeah, okay. Like, he didn't need to Barambolo. Like, what did you, I don't know. Just need some reverse De La Riva. Like, what do you want to do?
You know, like, it's funny. Yeah, it's like, it didn't invert. Like, we're sorry. I don't know what to tell you. It's a real match. Like,
but
you're not going to get what you want all the time just because you're a spectator. You know, they're not doing it to entertain you. You know, they're protecting themselves, and what comes out is what comes out, you know?
It's weird though, because like, if that dude had a butt scooted towards the Aikido guy, you can only imagine then too what the comments would have been. It's like, you couldn't win. It's like, oh, but I was trying to donkey guard and it didn't work out with the Aikido guy. It's like, well, shit, man, I thought you wanted me to do jiu-jitsu.
Yeah, it's but people, I think another thing that happens in this game, especially nowadays, now that for some reason a lot of people are trying to get away from more traditional martial arts, I don't necessarily agree with that. If you look at a lot of the any of the belt holders and UFC, Bellator, stuff like that, a lot of them, if not all of them, come from some type of background of a traditional art.
Mm.
And they have a black belt in something. Mm. You know, they're not just like, yeah, I do MMA. Most of them aren't that way. You know, they're like, I have a black belt in jiu-jitsu. I have a black belt in taekwondo. I have a black belt in karate. I did Muay Thai for years. You know, like, they come from some specific art. Mm. They just happen to branch off. So I think what the scary part is that so many people are making fun of traditional arts. They're not even paying attention to the people that they're fans of. You know, they're not paying attention to, like, Anderson Silva doing Wing Chun. They're not paying attention to that. They're not paying attention to, like, traditional wrestling, you know, like, are considering that an art. You gotta remember that wrestling has been around since, like, the Roman times.
Yeah, that's the that's the oldest one. Yeah, like, people were trying to throw each other on their head from the dawn of time.
Yeah.
That's the other thing. I agree with you there too, where it's like, if you don't treat wrestling as a martial art, or, you know, like, it is really a traditional martial art that was just modified into a competitive sport.
And it's brutal. It is brutal. Like, a lot of the champions now come from heavy wrestling backgrounds.
Mm.
And, you know, I think statistically, if I remember correctly, there have been more champions to come out with belts in the UFC from wrestling backgrounds than any other background. I think jiu-jitsu is a close second.
Yeah. I think at the minute, what now, you look at the UFC and you've got who? Cormier's got two belts. He comes from a wrestling background. You know, oh, he had two belts, John Jones now, light heavyweight. But, you know, so same deal, come from a wrestling background.
Cejudo.
Adesanya, though, comes from a striking background. Welterweight, wrestling background. Usman, lightweight, wrestling background. Khabib. You know, like, there's guys that are just able to impose their will.
Yeah, and Khabib has a strong sambo background as well.
Yeah.
You know, like. So I think it's sad, because one thing that you typically get out of traditional martial arts is you learn things like respect and honor and integrity. You learn about being humbled and how to humble. You learn about discipline and how to dedicate yourself to one particular thing instead of a whole bunch of other little things. You know, there's growth. You can see, like, there's usually some type of a ranking system to where you have to pay respect to somebody ahead of you. But then you have, like, just straight up MMA gyms where there's none of that.
Mm.
And maybe the guy like is teaching you wrestling, but he doesn't have a black belt in jiu-jitsu, and he boxed, but you know, he's just had a whole bunch of fights and he just decided to open up an MMA gym. You know, well, typically, I'm not saying all the time, but typically that just breeds assholes.
Mm.
It just breeds people who just want to hurt people. And those gyms don't typically last very long because financially they don't do well. Because no one on their first day wants to go get thrown into a cage. You know, your first day, you want to learn how to stand. Where do I put my hands? Where the hell's the locker room? You know, like you're trying to learn day one shit. You're not trying to learn like double, you know, how to get double legged on your head.
Yeah.
You know, and so I think that it's sad that traditional arts aren't doing as well as they used to, especially when you look at all these previous champions who come from traditional arts. You know, like it just baffles me why people want to hate on it. You know, like I get people sending me stuff from Taekwondo all the time, and I'm like, yeah, that's what Taekwondo looks like. You know, or they'll send me something like from Wing Chun. I'm like, yeah, that's what Wing Chun looks like. You know, like it looks crazy to you, but maybe you should do some research and look into that art, you know?
Yeah.
It's just, so there's something missing in the translation.
Look, it's a weird one. And I think too, it is just the popular vote to be able to sort of write that stuff off and just say, oh, well, MMA, this is the way forward. And I understand that obviously, but like you're saying, it makes a big difference. And that's people too, I think, are looking at like the pinnacle of the sport and you're like, well, no, if you're really good in one area, up until maybe that top tier, you can beat most people. You know, like it's just, if you're a world-class jiu-jitsu athlete, chances are you're probably going to do pretty well against the majority of people in MMA. Same wrestling, same Muay Thai, because the skills that you were able to attain to get to that level of your chosen combat discipline, chances are that will transfer pretty well when you're trying to pick up those other arts as well.
Yeah, I mean, that's good to have that base. You know, how MMA was explained to me, which was probably the simplest way, and it still makes sense to me, is MMA is whatever art you do and jiu-jitsu.
Yeah.
That was it.
That was it.
It was just like, well, you know, it's like a simple way of explaining it. I was like, that makes a lot of sense. I was like, you kind of have to know some jiu-jitsu in MMA.
Mm-hmm.
Like, guys who wrestle, there was a fight that I watched not too long ago where one of the guys quite obviously did not do jiu-jitsu. And he was a strong wrestler and he did a great job. But once the guy got on top of him, his automatic response was to turn his back, stand up and walk himself to the cage.
Mm.
And every time he did, the guy stayed on his back like glue, drug him back to the floor and started working for the hooks and started working again. The guy would try to get back up and he never tried to work guard. He never tried to address the issues of where the hands were. He was just like, you know what? I'm going to stand up. You know, I'm going to turn around and try to get to the cage. And that was like him working that over and over again for 3 rounds. I saw this happen.
Yeah.
And never did it work. And it was like, you know, if you would just maybe tried to do a little, maybe get an overhook and, or maybe get an underhook and turn your way in, maybe you could have worked guard, or maybe you could have gotten your half guard. Maybe you could have worked for an arm bar or a triangle choke or something other than what was happening. And it was just really, really hard to watch like that, just simply because he probably just didn't work any jiu-jitsu.
Yeah.
You know, he was working on his wrestling so much.
Mm. No, look, it still happens, obviously, but I think we'll see less and less of it. Well, look, all right, dude, I want to say thank you again. Massive, massive, massive thank you for not only taking the time tonight, but taking the time in the past. I really do truly appreciate it because it did make a massive difference for me starting out. I think it made it a lot easier for me to be able to get other people involved in coming on for a chat, being able to say, hey, look, this is a little back catalog I've got going at the minute. And being able to have your sort of name in that mix made it a lot easier for me. It still makes it very cool for people now that have just got on board with the Tiny Sumo stuff where they're like, oh, that's really cool. And I'm like, there's that sort of little bit of pride in me where I'm like, oh, no, me and Rob, we've been the homies on this now for a year. Rob gave me a shot a year ago. And I am very appreciative of it, man.
Yeah, man. Whenever you want me, just let me know. I'll be on.
Nice, dude. I really appreciate it. All right, look, you know the deal. Before I wrap it up, I like to give people an opportunity to get any plugs, mentions, shout outs. Let obviously know people where they can find your stuff. They're probably already following. I'll be very surprised if they're not. But if they're not, where can they find all your stuff? And I'll tag it in later on too.
Well, you can find me pretty much on any social media. It's McDojo Life on pretty much everything. Each one of my social medias is a little different, has a different feel to it. For instance, my YouTube is nothing but original content. So I do have guests and stuff that I have on there. I do original shorts, and I'm about to start doing call outs. So I'm really excited about that. So I'm about to start calling people out. So that should be interesting. We'll see how many lawsuits I get from that. Also, you can find me on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram, all under McDojo Life. I also just recently started a Patreon because I've always loved video games. I just, up to this point, haven't been able to play. So I've been trying to get in at least an hour. So if you want to play, by all means, hit me up on Twitch. And I like to play against people who follow me. So
nice. All right, man. We'll tag those all in. We'll get people involved. And please keep doing what you're doing. I'm looking forward to the documentary. I'm looking forward to the book. I'm looking forward to the call outs. I'm looking forward to all of it, man. So keep doing what you're doing, and I'll keep following along. That's for sure.
Appreciate your support, brother.
Cool, man. All right, we'll talk soon.
Later.
Cheers, bye.